When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mitch Sherman of The Athletic joining us.
Hello, guys. The intent that he had in putting this staff together will overrule all of that, no pun intended. Yeah, you've got to get bigger and bolder every time, right?
Call Mitch. Call Mitch. Call Mitch. Call Mitch.
Mitch Sherman, The Athletic. Meet Michael Sevier. Oh, wait, you guys saw each other on Saturday.
What's up, Mitch?
We chatted for a while. We did, yeah. Good to see you Saturday and talk to you today, Michael. Hi, John.
Hi, Mitch. I did not see you guys on Saturday. I was at a ballpark.
Because John also hates spring games. He's just such an anti-spring game guy. I don't understand it.
I'm Allen Iverson.
Usually anti-spring
games. Are you anti-spring games?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of spring games. I like spring games.
Oh.
We don't get a chance. Now, when we got a chance to go to practices back in under Callahan, spring game wasn't as important for me. But now I get to see 20 minutes with the practice. This way I get to see, 2 hours or even more than that, getting to watch the stuff before the game starts. It's valuable information, Mitch.
That part before the game, like watching them in warmups,
yeah,
is almost more beneficial at a normal spring game than the game itself. I feel like the spring game itself is worse than going to a practice. Normally, it was not this year. This year was one of the more entertaining spring games I've ever seen. But normally, I think the scrimmage is generally after the first series or two. Yeah, it just needs to get over. But warmups are good, and I always like to see the warmups and who's taking charge. How the players look, and I think I would get more out of a general spring game, if I watched it on the field.
Yeah.
Than from the press box, but. That's where I am. That's where I was. That's where I was Saturday. And Saturday was the exception to the normal spring game. I thought it was entertaining and enlightening.
Obviously, Dylan stole the show, as you wrote in your column for The Athletic. But I'm curious what your read is on the number two quarterback situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, Heinrich Harburg looked good, I thought, in what they asked him to do. And there were times last year probably where he got asked to do too much, and the offense evolved as the season went along, so you were trying to change in midstream with the type of offense it was, and that, of course, doesn't just involve the quarterback. It involves the receivers and the tight ends and the offensive line, so that just got murky, and then he was beat up, and schedule got tough, and things happen as they do in the Big Ten. And it all just, I think, contributed to tough circumstances for Heinrich down the stretch, and eventually he got beat up so bad that he couldn't play. So given 4 months to let all of those clouds clear and putting him in a situation where he didn't have a lot of those pressures and outside forces coming at him, and he was healthy, and the offense that he was asked to run on Saturday, I think he's cleaned some stuff up with his throwing motion. It's not like Dylan. Maybe I shouldn't compare it to Dylan, but he's not the gold standard of all throwing motions. But it wasn't perfect. But I thought he was good, and he was accurate, and threw one or two balls that were ill advised. But Nebraska could win with him at quarterback in 2024. But I think it could win more with number 15.
The one thing you notice about Matt Rhule, and I know you've noticed since he's got here, he always seems to have the right answer. Like he's answered so many questions, he has the right answer. He was asked about maybe looking for another quarterback, maybe that might happen or whatever, and he had a very diplomatic answer. If somebody comes along, then sure, whether it is a young guy or someone with experience. Do you think they add another quarterback before the season starts?
That's a good question. I'm going to say no, because I think it's hard to find that player. I think it's hard to find someone who's going to look at the situation at Nebraska and say, you've got a rising star of a true freshman,
mm-hmm.
you've got a guy with a couple years of eligibility left behind him who's experienced in this program, and clearly they'd be comfortable putting him in a game if they need to. And then another true freshman who's been in the program for 4 months, and it'll be 8 months by the time August rolls around, and anybody who joins the team would actually get out on the field in a practice setting. And he's fine too. Like if you took Raiola out of the equation and you just had Daniel Kalin as the early enrolling true freshman, and they went out there on Saturday, let's say it was, you know, say Dylan never flipped and it was Chuba Purdy and Heinrich and Danny on Saturday, I think we'd be talking a lot about Kalin.
Yeah.
And how he looked poised and made a lot of good throws and good decisions, and how he'd had an excellent spring. It's just he gets overshadowed by the play of Raiola and the maturity and poise and all of that.
Mitch Sherman joining us from The Athletic. You quoted Thomas Fedoni in your column today and asked about the offense. He said, "What's changed the most is the way we carry ourselves and our confidence." How much of it is that, and how much of it is some of these new additions that we got to see for the first time or for one of the rare times so far?
Yeah, they go hand in hand. I mean, and we didn't see Jamal Banks. I don't think we saw him at all. I thought I saw him early.
I might have
played
him
a snap or two.
Right.
We thought he may have been targeted once.
I don't think he was.
Yeah, Rule mentioned on Thursday that some of the veterans were going to give him one snap. And I know Tommy Hill played the first series, didn't want to come out. Jamal might have been out there for one or two snaps at the beginning, but nonetheless, he didn't contribute in a major way. But you put Banks, and because he will be out there in August, you know, September, Nair, Ja'Cory Barney, unfortunately now probably not Demetrius Hill, but Janiron Bonner, who did you say?
Jalen Lloyd,
he was already there last year, but he's a better version of Jalen Lloyd. Yep. Rule said maybe the most improved player on the team or on the offensive side. You put those guys out there with a Raiola, and there's a reason that they are more confident, because they can make plays on a level that's far beyond what happened a year ago. And that's without Malachi Coleman. And Malachi can come in and play the spot that's right for him, you know, contribute in the way that's right for him for his development as a second year player. So even without Demetrius Hill, and that's, you know, you shouldn't just gloss over that. That's a big loss.
Yeah,
if he's indeed like has a serious injury, which I think he does. I mean, it didn't look good. Doesn't sound good, but didn't sound good after the game. No further update there, but, they're equipped to handle that. And then Carter Nelson's coming in. And, you know, we saw Fedoni. I thought Fedoni, when I saw him after the game, and I'd seen him a couple times in the spring, but after the game, he really is looking like he's gained good weight. His shoulders are bigger, and, you know, he's not all, you know, joints and bones anymore like he was obviously in high school and even through parts of his first two years at Nebraska, because, you know, he's spent his energy rehabbing from knee injuries. He's really growing into his body, and I think he can be an explosive player. And, you know, there's others that they're not going to have to rely on. You know, like Keelan Smith looked good in that game. I think some of the other young receivers they have coming in, like Quinn Clark, are going to be good players, but now they're in a position where, you know, assuming they avoid a bunch of injuries, those guys can develop at the right rate, much like I said with Malachi Coleman. And you also have Jaden Doss to mix in there. And they're able to put him on defense. And maybe if Bly Hill is down for an extended time, maybe Jaden Doss gets in the mix to play corner. Or, you know, you have to go to Jeremiah Charles or Mario Buford, but you know, that's something to think about as they get further into the offseason.
Yeah, I felt bad for – I didn't know it was Jaden Doss at the time, but, you know, that's who Jalen Lloyd ran by. And I thought it was just some, like, you know, walk-on cornerback out there. I'm like, damn, that's unfair to see a guy run by him like that. But I want to ask you about – so the tight ends, you're talking about the depth and everything, and we talk about the depth of the wide receiver and all that and quarterback. But the run game, do you feel, just with the little bit you saw, because you've seen enough of Emmitt Johnson last year, I think – you've seen a little bit, you know, of Dowdell in this game with the guys who are going to be coming back from injury last year. You think they're pretty set at running back? You feel comfortable with what they got?
I feel okay. It's the place on offense where I have the most concerns, but I feel slightly better after Saturday than I did midway through the spring. You know, I just don't know who's going to take the ball and run with it, you know, so to speak. Dowdell did his thing on Saturday and looked pretty good. You know, I also looked at who he was running away from on his 49-yard run.
Yeah.
Toward the end zone, and it was a couple of walk-on defensive backs. So you'd expect that he's going to be able to get some separation from those guys. It's not who he'll see in the fall against anyone. So we'll see. We'll see what he turns into. He's going to need a solid summer, I think, to challenge at that position for a lot of carries. We do know what Nebraska has with Emmett Johnson, and he's a good runner. And he does it, all the little stuff that they need for running backs to do. You know, pass protection, Marcus Satterfield will tell you, is so important. Even more important now with a prized quarterback whose arm is such a huge part of the offense. So Emmett does that well. You know, Ramir Johnson does that well. He's coming back. We'll see on Gabe Irvin how he comes back when he's ready to go in August. You know, a hip injury for a running back is a scary thing, especially when you've already had a knee. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but I also think that, you know, if they could have gotten Dylan Edwards, they would have taken him, and he's headed to Kansas State now. And if somebody else pops up in the portal at that running back spot who looks like they can be a difference maker at Nebraska, then they're going to make a run at that guy. So that tells you that they're not entirely content with everything that's going on there, even though the numbers are pretty good. And you know, I didn't mention Quentin Ives and right. Maurice Mazzucca, but those guys looked fine too.
Mitch Sherman of The Athletic here on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline. The fact that they got Fedoni involved early on, and once again, second time this spring, Matt Rhule has talked about teams tampering, and this time he just flat out said it. Hey, guys have been trying to get Thomas into the portal from us. I almost think that they wanted to get him involved early on, not because Thomas is looking to leave, but just as maybe a reward for, hey, we appreciate the fact that, you know, you're getting teams calling you all the time and texting you and saying, hey, you need to jump in the portal. You need to come over here. Here's the ball.
Yeah, that and the fact that he's 6'6", 260, and runs a 4.5 40. I mean, he's always been such a gifted player physically, and it's just been a matter of being healthy and then being comfortable with what he's asked to do as the physical part of it. You know, feeling at ease on the field, like it's not going to happen again to him. You pair him with Carter Nelson, and that's a scary thought. And you know, Borkature, you know, I don't think he's going to break off a lot of 61-yard catches like he did in the spring game. But he's a piece that is beneficial for sure. And so is Luke Lindenmeyer.
Yeah.
As you know, he's like an extra offensive lineman, but you know, he can do some things in the pass game too, where he surprises the defense, where he rolls off of the line of scrimmage as a tight end who's normally in there to block. So they're pretty stacked, I think, you know, assuming that Nelson is the player I'm pretty sure Carter Nelson's the player we think he is. I know he's the athlete we think he is, and it's just a matter of him coming in and taking to the 11-man game. He's a rare guy who can walk in as a true freshman who didn't enroll early, and especially coming from a small level of high school football that's way below anything that the Big Ten's going to offer, and I think contribute as a true freshman at a position where they already have a lot of depth. I think he's that unique of an athlete. So you put him out there, and they may not even ask him to play traditional tight end. It might just be like some receiver stuff that has tight end elements to it. And then as his career goes on and he gains some weight, he'll become more of a pass catching tight end. But he's like even above Fedoni with just how fluid he is as a player. I mean, he's got like Brock Bowers kind of level of athleticism. So you got a long way to go to become that kind of a player, but that's the kind of athlete he is.
Mitch Sherman joining us from The Athletic, my most used subscription. I got that notification on my email. Apparently, I read a lot on The Athletic. I didn't know, but they told
Thank
me. I was very happy about that. Yeah, I mean, a lot of Saint stuff, a lot of Nebraska stuff.
I read it a lot. I never get an email saying, hey, thanks for reading a lot of Athletics.
I don't know.
Do you like it?
Do you say you like the article at the end? Do you do that?
Oh, I don't do that.
See, I always do that. That's probably it.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Mitch. I should be liking your articles more.
You can, but just reading them is enough.
Thank you. Let me ask you about special teams, because obviously we saw Ja'Cory Barney do it was pretty exciting, even though he got the okie doke from his own teammate. But so, you know, I'm a big fan of the guy they have kicking field goals, because I'm friends with his family. I like him a lot. I think he can be really good, but it's kind of scary. I know they have a walk-in coming on they like a lot, but what do you do at field goal with the field goal job?
I still think he's going to be okay. You know, and I don't know, maybe some of that's like you, where it's a sentimental thing. And, you know, he's still the guy that I watched kick a 50-yarder to win a state championship in that stadium. And, you know, I know he's got it in him. I don't put a lot necessarily into seeing him miss a couple field goals at the end of a scrimmage. Now, if he's been doing that all spring and that's the story that they're getting from him every time he goes out there in a scrimmage, well, then, yeah, that's concerning. But if it was one little bad stretch, you know, he made one in the second half. I think he's going to be okay. I take him and Ed Foley at face value on their comments about how he's really kind of straightened some things out with his routine, and his mechanics are better, and he's repeating his movements much better than he did as a true freshman. So I think he's going to be okay. Like, you know, some ups and downs, and if his down, it happens because he missed a couple field goals in a spring game. Well, that's fine. And, you know, otherwise, we'll see at punter. I mean, we're still waiting to see it from Brian Buscini. You know, he wasn't necessarily booming kicks last year, and we didn't see that.
Yep,
we didn't see that Saturday in limited opportunities. So. Again, he's another guy who I think has it in him. It's maybe my level of concern there is a little higher, because the sample size is greater. He's been the kicker, but been the punter at Nebraska now for a couple seasons. So we'll see. But they do have Cook coming in, Camden Cook,
the son of
Sam Cook. So one thing I know about Camden, he also doesn't have this big giant leg, but his precision is something to behold. And the Nebraska coaches are already excited about his ability to, say, drop a punt at the 6-yard line. Like, tell him to go out there and put it at the 5, and he's going to put it at the 5. So maybe you could see a duel. You could see a couple of punters get action for Nebraska next year. I don't know if that's necessarily in their plans. You know, Camden's not on campus yet, but it's good to know that they'll have some options. I don't know much about the walk-on place kicker who's coming in. Nico, I believe, is
Otto Manelli.
Yeah, Nico Otto Manelli.
Great name.
That's a kicker name.
It's a great name.
Sounds like a Jersey. Sounds like a Jersey guy.
He is a Jersey guy.
So I don't know. We'll see what they have in him. Maybe he'll come in and wow everyone and beat out Alvano, but, you know, I still think that Tristan will be the guy.
Yeah.
Mitch, you didn't know anyone that was affected by the storms over the weekend?
Not directly. I mean, it's more of like a friend-of-friend type of situation.
Yeah.
I was in that neighborhood in Elkhorn on Thursday night, like less than 24 hours before the storms hit. We were just on the south side of Maple Street, and I know they playing a baseball game, and then I know they hit hard right on the north side. So there was some people who were there on that Elkhorn team that my son's team played who were definitely impacted, and just some friends of friends, and then probably some same thing in Bennington, and probably some people that I know or know of that I'm not even aware were impacted. So it's, you know, it's obviously tragic and then amazing at the same time that there wasn't loss of life in the state of Nebraska.
Yep.
The initial reports or surveys are coming in from the National Weather Service. They're still studying it, but the initial survey says that the Elkhorn tornado, which started down by UTAN, was on the ground for 59 minutes.
Incredible.
31 miles and dissipated just on the other side of the Missouri River across from Blair, but 165 mile an hour maximum wind, width 880 yards. So the width of almost 9 football fields.
That's crazy.
And man, we
got lucky.
We got lucky in a lot of ways, but that's strongest storm we've seen hit this area since 75. And fortunately, we have a lot better warning systems today than we had in 1975.
Yep.
Yeah, those stats are breathtaking. So
yeah.
I mean, any kind of house destruction or property destruction is too much, but we're fortunate that it started out by Utan and not 7-8 miles to the east.
Exactly.
Yep.
Nope. No doubt about it. Mitch Sherman of The Athletic. Make sure when you read his articles, you like them as well. I just found that out. Mitch, thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You bet.
Thanks, Mitch.
The other tornado in the, well, the Lincoln tornado, they're all rated currently as EF3.
Mm-hmm.
On the, of course, it's a EF0 through EF5. The Epley tornado, as they're calling it, that started, well, it started at the airport, but the funnel cloud passed almost directly over Charles Schwab Field.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I was there for the show, and I was spending most of the time, you know, as the Elkhorn stuff was going on in the radio booth. I was all alone up there on the fourth floor. And at some point, I just decided, you know, I'm getting bored up here. And, of course, we were running all the storm coverage. So I went down to the clubhouse to talk to the guys. And it was during that time where the funnel cloud, and they actually have video of it. The guys up at Mecca in the TV room had one of the cameras running from the TV room. And you can see the rotating funnel pass either over the outfield or between the ballpark and the arena.
That's crazy.
And then, of course, what, two miles later, it hits the ground because that's up by the airport. It takes out the
building out.
Takes out the hangar with the private airplanes.
Yep.
But if that thing drops, if it drops right there, if it drops, I mean, over the old market.
Yep.
We're talking about a whole different ball game here. So while a lot of people were affected, and by the way, we should remind you again that we've got a one-stop shop where you can find out more information about how you can give to tornado relief efforts. It's 1620 The Zone's One Community, 1620thezone.com/tornado-relief. Visit our website, 1620thezone/tornado-relief. You can find out all about different places that you can donate. And the great thing is that there's been so much help so far, but sometimes in these situations when you donate, it maybe doesn't directly impact this emergency, but it's going to impact an emergency down the road.
Right.
Because this is going to take some of the resources from previous donations. So it's always about trying to, you know, replenish the supply. Because sadly, these types of things aren't done happening.
Oh, no. And especially with, you know, what's happening overall with the warmth of our planet. I mean, we're seeing more and more of these across the globe. Now every year my mom comes and stays with us during hurricane season because she's 87. Last thing she needs to be in a home that doesn't have any power in New Orleans with that heat.
Mm-hmm.
She comes and stays here. It's just something we do every year now. It's just because it's gotten worse and worse. So it's something we got to be able to deal with.
1620thezone/tornado-relief. Coming up, we got a ball game tomorrow over at said Charles Schwab Field.
Who's playing?
That would be the Blue Jays and the Huskers. It's game 3.
Baseball?
It's baseball.
Okay.
Baseball. Baseball.
You might be familiar. It's the park that used to have the Nighthawks.
That one year, yeah.
That
wasn't
one
the good year.
Year,
though. Good year was at Rosenblatt.
RIP Nighthawks.
I know. Came the fly, baby. Nighthawk, plan to fly. Good.
What?
You never heard the Nighthawks? It was
ignored that.
So the theme song was done by Chicken Nick. They did the song, and they played it.
Did they adopt it?
They created it, and they brought in the head coach, who was Jeff Jagosinski. They brought him in. They played it for him. And then they played it all the time. It was hilarious. It's a good song.
I don't remember.
Nighthawks Come to Fight. Yeah. It's great. Great song. Outstanding.
But no, they play baseball at this ballpark.
Oh, good. Okay, that's nice. And I've heard of that.
Creighton is playing Nebraska tomorrow night. We're going to give away some tickets coming up, so be listening.
Is it a game?
No, I wish. If I'd have known.
That you had a game?
If I'd have found out earlier, yeah, I could have tickets. Developed okay. A game.
Sure, right.
But.
You ever heard of Name That Meat?
I've heard about that game. How did that go, by the way? I don't remember.
So here's what happened. So we used to be set up. It was the greatest spot in college World Series history. We're in Rosenblatt. We're right outside the entrance where all the teams go in. Just on the other side of the pole or the fence was Omaha Steaks. And so they had the hot dogs, they had the hamburgers and all that stuff. And so the idea behind it is to tell you how much it cost and where you could find it. And you had to name the meat. That was the idea of the game. It was just a quick game. Somebody handed us tickets. We were trying to give them away. We came up with Name That Meat. Yeah. It was a disaster.
You know what? We might not. What are you finding meat?
I'm going to see what meat-related things we have.
Mangini Math is probably the greatest game ever played on this network.
Yeah, that was a good one. What's meat today? What was that? Hey, I've already had my meat today. There you go.
That one.
That we'll use that drop.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So when you hear that drop.
Again.
Play it again. Hey, I've already had my meat today. When you hear that, be caller 402-951-1620. We'll get you tickets to tomorrow night's game, Nebraska-Creighton at Charles Schwab Field. You know Nebraska will be motivated because they do not want to get swept, and Creighton will be motivated because they want to sweep.
It doesn't matter what you want. It's what you get.
Well, yeah, but you still got to want it.
You can want it as much as you want.
I mean, unlike a spring game where no one wants anything.
Everybody wants everything.
This is a real game.
I want it all.
It's actually, there's steaks. There's actual steaks.
You get steaks? Name that meat.
Name that meat.
Name that meat, exactly.
Steak.
All right. We haven't even talked about the draft yet.
No, why? Let's go.
We got time. Let's do it next. 1620 The Zone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.